to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
Today our text is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 105, verse 1, which says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people," or among the nations. This is a missionary text. The point is here that we should have a great concern for those who have never heard the gospel of Christ, for those who are in cultures where there's repression and where there is persecution. We should make known his deeds among all people. We have been redeemed by his precious blood, and the wonderful gift, the work on the cross that he did, we need to make that known so that all people worldwide, over 7 billion of us, have the privilege of hearing the gospel of Christ and having the opportunity to receive him as our Lord and Savior. Let us give thanks and call upon his name as we pray for those who are lost and as we get involved in missionary activity so that every man, woman, and child have repeated opportunities to hear and see the gospel of Christ.
Touched me. Oh, it touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Touched me and made me
This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Jerry and Connie Robinson, who are representatives of Global Outreach Mission in Western Canada. And they're telling us our story about how the Lord brought them to Christ and how God put missions in there. And Jerry was telling us about his first ministry in Toronto. Jerry, why don't you continue your story?
Yes, I started out teaching these clubs, and it was neat just to see God use me as I just offered what I had to the Lord. These boys and girls would come to these five-day clubs, and we would tell them the gospel and would give the invitation, and boys and girls would stay behind. And I remember one girl I had counseled for salvation, and I told her, you know, after she had prayed the prayer and we showed her verses of assurance, I said, "Why don't you go home and tell your mom and dad what you've done. And she said, no, I don't want to do that. And I said, why? And she says, I want them to see the difference. And that spoke to my heart, you know, if Jesus Christ is in her life, there really is a difference, isn't there? And that step of faith, going out there, getting $10 a week for 10 weeks. When I got to Bible school, I went back with $100. And $100 was what you needed to register to just get in. So I put my $100 down and I said, dear Lord, the money's not here. I'm out of here and I'm going to go back and work on road construction. And at the end of the year, I had $76 left in my account. And the Lord had just provided. I had this one there that said ILY. And it was in my box and it had a chunk of money in it. And I opened ILY, whose initials were that? And I love you. And it was from my wife. And she wasn't my wife then, Connie. She had worked for an oil company and she had made money and she had tithed to us. And then other people gave money, you know how they do it, to people that had done work. And it went to my account. And so that was the first step of faith. And I began to trust God.
Oh, praise the Lord. So when did you get married? Did you get married after school or how did that all work out?
We got married. We went together for 3 or 4 years, and I took Connie to my home in Wisconsin from Calgary and to meet my parents and so on, and we went up to a place called Rib Mountain. It was the end of the year. It was that I asked her to marry me, and she said she would. So we were all excited, and we went home to tell my folks, and of course, this is late at night, and they were in bed. And my dad said, oh, that's good. And he just rolled over and went back to sleep. And I had already been working for Child Evangelism in Saskatchewan for a year. And then she came and joined me there.
When we started out in Saskatchewan, it was a whole new experience for me. I had been raised in a very settled environment, one home. My dad was the principal at Berean Bible College, and he'd had one job all the time I knew him. We attended one church. Everything was very secure and settled. And then I married Jerry. And suddenly, everything was shifting. And I think that was a big lesson for me to learn that my security needed to be based upon the Lord and not on my nice, comfortable set of circumstances. But the years in Saskatchewan were a real blessing in that God began to show us how he could provide in so many little ways. When we didn't have food, all of a sudden someone would arrive at the door with 10 pounds of shelled peas or 10 pounds of corn cut off the cob. We took a trip one time where our check hadn't arrived and we had to go and visit all of the club locations in Western Saskatchewan. We had $2.51 in our pocket. And we were going to be gone for a couple of weeks. Part of that time, we didn't make arrangements for where we would stay because Saskatchewan people were so hospitable that they just invited you in. Usually we had 2 or 3 invitations of where we could stay by nightfall. And then we had to go to a banquet in Saskatoon. We didn't realize that we would have to pay for the tickets. And as we were standing in the line, the fellow behind us, when we got up to where they paid, he says, oh, I'm buying your tickets tonight. And just how God provided step by step, when we came back to our home in Swift Current, we had $10.54. We had 2 chickens, we had a cabbage head and a bunch of canned goods. And it was just in those little ways that we knew God cared and he was providing for all of our needs.
Praise the Lord, what good stories they are. It's been a real delight to have both of you in our studio today, and we'll continue this conversation next week.
This month, we would like to make available a booklet about stress written by June Hunt. June asked the question, how to cope at the end of your rope? Are you at your breaking point? Are the effects of an overcommitted schedule weighing you down? Do you feel that if you have just one more pressure added to your life, you will break? You need to know. Stress begins in the mind. There are physical warning signs of stress. Stress can be paralyzing, but stress can also be a motivator. Prayer, exercise, music, humor, and even pets can reduce stress. If we are not careful, stress can come between us and our relationship with God. Discover the biblical approach to stress and allow the right thinking to transform your mind. God wants to be your source of calm in stressful situations. To order your copy of the booklet Stress written by June Hunt, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, on L2R7A7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. For any more questions, you can email us at media@missiongo.org.
Every day we got a chance to change this crazy world. That chance is every little thing we say. If we speak of peace to every little boy and girl, then maybe we can make this a better place. Oh yeah, who's gonna tell them? Who's gonna tell them? Who's gonna tell them about love?
Yeah, who's gonna teach 'em? Who's gonna teach 'em about love?
Every day we got a chance to change this hurting world, and that chance learns from everything we do. But if we teach kindness to every little boy and girl, maybe that sky will turn from gray to blue. Oh, who is gonna teach them? Tell me, who is gonna teach them?
Who's gonna teach them about love? Who's gonna show them? Yeah, who's gonna show them? Who's gonna show them how to love?
Every day we get a chance to change this lonely world, and that chance watches every move we make. If we show God's love to every little boy and girl, then maybe we can help this world to change. Who's gonna show about love? Who's gonna show about love?
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson and is entitled Triumph Over Trouble. I know that we all need this message. Printed copies are available upon request.
A man was asked how he managed to live in such a state of tranquility even though he was surrounded by adverse circumstances. His reply was profound and yet simple. He said, I have learned to cooperate with the inevitable. Does it surprise you that trouble is a part of life? Well, probably not. We all know trouble close up and personal. Bad health, empty bank account, blighted love, grief, loss of a job, the list goes on. It shouldn't surprise us, therefore, that God permits added trials of being ridiculed and hated because we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But trouble, whether it's common to man or unique to Christians, can reveal to us the moral fiber of our soul. Someone has written, I've never seen a golf course without hazards. They are part of the game. Golfers speak of the courses with the most hazards as the most challenging, and they'll travel a long way to test their skill against the most demanding 18 holes. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, if I had a formula for bypassing trouble, I wouldn't pass it around. I wouldn't be doing anyone a favor. Trouble creates a capacity to handle it. Meet it as a friend, for you'll see a lot of it, and you had better be on speaking terms with it. That is trouble. Think it not strange, then, when trouble comes. God is going to use it to test the stamina of your life and mine. The best way to handle trouble is to commit your soul unto Him in faithfulness to a faithful Creator. You see, great triumphs are born out of great troubles. Today, I want to study with you Psalm 142, a wonderful psalm of David when he was in a cave, running for his life, hiding out from those who were seeking to destroy him. If you can and have access to a Bible, open up to Psalm 142. If not, just listen as I read it and notice in the second verse, two particular words. Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him, and here are the two words, my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I have walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I look on my right hand, and behold, there's no man who would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors. They are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Did you notice those two words in the second verse? Let me underscore them again. David speaks about my trouble. There was a wonderful preacher in London, England many years ago. His name was Dr. Joseph Parker, and he said this, no preacher will ever lack a congregation if he preaches to troubled hearts. And of course he was right. For when we address our words to troubled hearts, we're sure that we're speaking to everyone. Because you see, everyone sooner or later experiences trouble and trial. And here in Psalm 142, we find even the writer David, a man after God's own heart, in great trouble. The whole psalm teaches us how to be triumphant in trouble. Not how to escape trouble or be free from it, but how to glorify God in the midst of trouble and how to prove that God is greater than any trouble we might ever encounter, that God is faithful in delivering us in the time of trouble. Now, I want to talk with you about two things in this psalm. First, the reality of trouble, and secondly, our reaction to trouble. You see, life is 20% the reality of trouble and 80% our reaction to the trouble. Now, notice the reality of trouble. The Bible says in Job 5:7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. David is talking about his trouble. It's a time when he was a fugitive. His fortunes were at their lowest ebb. His reputation had gone and he was an outcast. And we don't know exactly what the trouble was to which he referred. This is helpful because it enables us to fit our own trouble into this picture. But we do know that he was in a cave when he wrote this. Now, the reality of trouble, David speaks about it in three ways. First of all, he tells us he was in big trouble. Secondly, he tells us it involved bad people. And thirdly, he tells us there was bitter disappointment. Now, notice David's big trouble. David says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I poured out my complaint. I showed him my trouble. Now, God knew about it, but he's just pouring it out before the Lord. He's sharing it with God. That's great therapy, my friend. He said, my spirit was overwhelmed within me, in verse 3. He says in verse 6, I was brought, or I am brought, very low. He says, my persecutors, they're stronger than me. He says, my soul is in prison. You see, David says, I'm overwhelmed. And the word overwhelmed really means wrapped about. If you're in the midst of fog or in a great smoke, say from a bonfire that's billowing up, it seems to wrap you about. It engulfs you. And David says that this trouble brought him very low as it engulfed him and wrapped around him. This indicates a process. He went lower and lower until he felt he had touched bottom. How big was David's trouble? Now, perhaps I'm talking to someone listening now who is in the midst of an overwhelming experience at this time. You are literally enveloped, wrapped about with trouble. You're in big trouble, and you feel like you're in prison. Maybe some of you listening are in prison. But notice David speaks not only of big trouble, he speaks about bad people. He tells us that people had contributed to his trouble. Notice he says in verse 3 that his enemies had set a snare for him. They had set a trap for him. In verse 6, he refers to them as his persecutors. Now, it's bad enough to be overwhelmed with trouble, but it's doubly bad to have trouble brought upon us through the disloyalty, the malice of others, of people, sometimes even so-called friends. That's the kind of thing that is happening to David here. One man said, "I love the world. It's people I don't like." Well, we kind of smile at that, but we all have to deal with people. And there are some bad people in the world who set traps for you, who lie about you, who gossip about you, who stab you in the back, as it were. Is this happening to you? And then thirdly, David not only talks about big trouble and bad people, he talks about bitter disappointment. Listen to what he says in verse 4. "I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." This must have been the hardest part of all. It is a tremendous help when we are in the midst of trouble, and we know that loved ones and friends and others understand the difficulties and come to our aid in our situation. But David felt that no one understood, no one cared, and no one was there to help. Now, even though no one, no human was there, the Lord was certainly there. And David realizes that because he's talking to the Lord. I remember what Paul said when he wrote to Timothy from his last prison when he went to his martyrdom. And he said in 2 Timothy 4:17, "At my last defense, no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me and protected me and helped me." So it is, we know the Lord will stand with us. Now, it's important for us to notice what David did when he was in great trouble and how he reacted. Because as I mentioned, trouble is 20% of what happens and 80% of how we react to it. When trouble comes, it's important how we react. Well, we move from the reality of trouble then to the reaction of trouble. How did David react? Well, there are some things that David did not do when he was overwhelmed with trouble. Well, first of all, he didn't brood over his trouble or do nothing about it. Now, this is important because sometimes we get depressed, distressed, and we just give up. We give in. We quit. We become inactive. We do nothing at all about it. This is fatal. Secondly, he did not indulge in self-pity. He didn't have a pity party. And it doesn't seem to be any indication that David really felt very sorry for himself. Even as we read this psalm, he didn't wallow in self-pity. And thirdly, he didn't become bitter and rebellious. He didn't question God's love and wisdom and providence. He didn't become hard and critical and ill because of his trouble. And then fourthly, he didn't worry others with his trouble to the extent of overburdening them. And what did David do when his trouble overwhelmed him? Well, he did three things. He prayed, he pondered, and he praised. Those are three things we should always do when trouble is upon us. First of all, he prayed. He brought his trouble before the Lord in prayer. Verses 1 and 2 make this quite clear. David prayed. He says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication." And I love what he says in verse 2. "I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble." He just told the Lord all about it. He just let it all hang out and he told the Lord all about it. How wonderful. You see, God is a refuge for us in time of trouble. And so we realize that the first thing we ought to do is pray. And then the second thing he did was he pondered. You see, his faith and trust in God was deepened as he began to think of how faithful God is and the fact that God would never let him down. In verse 3, he tells us that he is confident that God knew his path. He says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path." He says, you know all that's happening. You know all that's going on. You know this trouble, and you know those who are causing it. You see, the Lord knows all about you and me. He knows all about your trouble. He knows all that's happening and all those who are causing your trouble. David wrote in another psalm, Psalm 34, verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." And David was filled with hope and began to praise God. He says, "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about. Thou shalt deal bountifully with me." And he began to praise. Ah, how triumphant he was in trouble. He prayed, He pondered and realized how faithful and great and good God is. You think about that, my friend. Ponder that, and you'll soon begin to praise him, saying, Lord, just as you delivered me before, just as you've been faithful in the past, so you will be faithful in delivering me again, no matter what my trouble is. In an article for Campus Life magazine, Susan Smart describes her third and nearly last solo flight in an airplane. She had been practicing a maneuver at 5,000 feet when she lost control and her Cessna 150 began spinning wildly toward Earth. After several seconds of panic, she recalled her instructor's words, "If you ever get into a spin in a Cessna 150, let go of the controls. It's built to fly on its own." Susan shouted to herself several times, "Let go." Finally, she yanked her hands from the controls and covered her face. After some wild yawing and pitching, the plane returned to level flight. She had fallen more than half a mile, but she survived because she had the faith to let go. Her experience vividly illustrates what it means to trust God in a time of trouble. I know it's hard to do when it feels as if everything in our lives is spinning wildly out of control. Our feelings cry out for us to panic, to doubt his promises, to ignore or disobey his instructions, and to try to solve things without him. But those responses are futile. In Psalm 142, David cried out to the Lord in his time of trouble. He pondered God's faithfulness, and he began to praise the Lord. He knew that his only hope was to put his situation, his trouble, totally in God's hands and rely on him. Is your life in a spin today? Let go of the controls. The best way to handle a problem is to hand it over to God. Let go and let God. Now, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, come to him with the biggest trouble you have, your sin, and invite him to come in and cleanse you and forgive you and change you. And if you have done that and you're in trouble today, as a Christian, remember to let go and let God. For he who promised is faithful. And even if we believe not, he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. Oh, what a great God. And just as he brought David out of the trouble, he'll bring you out of the trouble. Just let go and let God.
I know that you enjoyed the message that we just heard. I trust that God will use his word in your life this week. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're really concerned that people that listen to our broadcast have a clear opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You know, the Bible teaches that there's two ways. There's a narrow way and there's a broad way. The broad way leads to destruction, unfortunately, but the narrow way leads to Christ. The problem that man has is the fact that we have a holy God and we are separated from him because we are sinners by act and by our own nature. And so therefore we need a Savior. And the Savior, of course, is God who became man, who went to the cross after living a sinless life and died there on our behalf. And so the gospel was really John 3:16, for God so loved, he loved the whole world, that he gave us the perfect gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever, means anyone, everyone, could receive Christ as our Savior if they want to have a personal relationship with him, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, go to hell, but have eternal life. That's the gospel. And so every person needs to know Christ personally. And you do that by asking him to come into your life. And you can bow your head and say a simple prayer and ask Jesus to come into your life. And the Bible tells us that if you're sincere and if you act in faith, you believe that Christ died for your sins, that you will be saved.
Remember to order your copy of the booklet Stress written by June Hunt. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, on L2R7A7 or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. Visit our website at www.missiongo.org or email us at media@missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.